Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Dr. Kevin Taylor, diagnostic radiologist at UPMC Hammett. Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us for this August 2022 edition of Business Spotlight featuring UPMC Hammett. Let's start at the beginning. What was your path that led you to being a diagnostic radiology specialist at UPMC Hammett?
So I completed medical school at the University of Pittsburgh, to which I subsequently did my diagnostic radiology training down at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a five-year residency program to which I completed training in 2020. I subsequently did a one-year fellowship at the University of New Mexico for Public Health, where I worked with the Department of Health in New Mexico for the vaccine implementation. This was when the pandemic first started. After completing the fellowship, I pursued my work here at UPMC Hammett, and since that time, I've been practicing for about 15 months now.
Doctor, from a 30,000-foot view, what does a diagnostic radiology specialist do?
It's a great question. Radiologists are medical doctors, and we specialize in diagnosing and treating injuries and diseases using medical imaging. Procedures such as X-rays, computed tomography or CT, magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, nuclear medicine, positron emission tomography or PET, as well as ultrasound. Radiologists complete at least 13 years of training, including undergraduate training, medical school, five-year residency, and most often an additional 1 to 2 years of fellowship of very specialized training, such as pediatric radiology, interventional radiology. We're typically certified by the American Board of Radiology, and they have exacting requirements for continuing medical education throughout our practicing years.
So we've discussed a little bit about what your role as a diagnostic radiologist is. Let's dive now into your specialty and subspecialties that you practice at UPMC Hammett.
Yes, I'm a general diagnostic radiologist, kind of a jack of all trades, if you will. I use a variety of imaging procedures to see inside the body and assess or diagnose the patient's condition. Me being the generalist, I play an important role in your health by acting as an expert consultant to your referring physician, by providing assistance in choosing, one, the proper exam and directing the radiology technologists, those who operate the equipment, and properly performing a quality exam for you. I interpret and report on the resulting images, and I recommend treatment only when appropriate, as well as any additional tests that may be needed in terms of figuring out what's going on. In regards to subspecialist radiologists, there is extensive clinical work related to research. And many radiologists may subspecialize. For example, there's breast imaging in terms of mammographers. We have cardiovascular radiology, which deals with the heart and circulatory system. Chest radiology, heart and lungs, that's a component of my practice. Emergency radiology, that's also a component of my practice, to which we assess patients who come in through the ED and require imaging. Gastrointestinal radiology, which deals with the stomach, intestines, abdomen, that's a component of my practice. Genital urinary radiology, reproductive and urinary systems, that's also a component of my practice. Head and neck radiology, musculoskeletal radiology, which deals with muscles and the skeleton. Again, another component of my practice. Neuroradiology, brain, nervous system, head, neck, and spine. And also pediatric radiology, which is kind of its own domain where we specialize in imaging of children. Just to name a few subspecialists that we provide.
Dr. Taylor, at some point during your medical career, you decided to be a generalist in your field. What drove that decision?
I think it's more so just a desire to kind of deal with all modalities, all sorts of patient populations. And also, you don't necessarily kind of enclose yourself in a box or a subspecialist box. So, for example, many neuroradiologists will read just head, neck, spine, and brain. Whereas, interventionalists may, kind of focus solely on procedures. As a generalist, you get to see and do everything. And so it kind of allows for a more fluid practice, in my opinion.
Most of us have heard the term MRI several times in our lives. explain what it is and when it's recommended.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of give a short overview in terms of an MRI examination can be described, you know, quite simply. I'm going to use four steps. The patient is placed in a large magnet. That would be step one. Two, a radio wave is sent in. Step three, the radio wave is turned off. And then four, the patient emits a signal, which is received and used for reconstruction of a picture. Now, with all of that said, magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI, is a medical imaging technique that we use in radiology to form pictures of the anatomy and also the physiological processes of the body. MRI scanners use strong magnetic fields, magnetic field gradients, and radio waves to generate images of the organs in the body. MRI does not involve X-rays, however, or the use of ionizing radiation, which is very important, and also it distinguishes it from a CT or plain films, for example. And MRI is more so a medical application of nuclear magnetic resonance, or NMR, which can also be used for imaging in other NMR applications, such as spectroscopy. MRI is widely used in hospitals and clinics for medical diagnoses. For example, we use it to stage and follow up disease. Compared to CT, MRI provides better contrast in images of soft tissues. An example of this would be the brain or the abdomen. The downside is that it may be perceived by patients as less comfortable, and this is due to usually kind of a longer exam time and kind of louder instrumentation. Patients are kind of confined in the MRI tube, although we've taken, you know, steps in terms of designing open MRIs, which kind of relieve this issue. Additionally, implants and other kind of non-removable metal in the body can pose a risk. And so patients that have these, you know, kind of prostheses or implants typically cannot undergo MRI. In terms of MRI, it's more or less kind of the investigation of choice in the preoperative staging of, let's say, rectal or colorectal cancer. And it has a very, very prominent role in diagnosing, staging, and following up of other types of tumors, as well as determining areas of tissue sampling for, you know, kind of biobanking, for example.
Dr. Taylor, sticking with the MRI discussion for a moment, the procedure can be intimidating when patients hear the term. You mentioned both the closed and open imaging options. What is used in your network of imaging centers?
Yeah, so here at UPMC Hammett, we typically use the kind of closed system. Essentially, if you were to think of when you're placed into an MRI scanner, you're kind of placed in this large donut to which you'll hear kind of a lot of noise. Again, kind of the four steps I mentioned, that donut is more so kind of the magnet, and the noise is the radio waves being sent in. And so with that said, a lot of patients get a lot of discomfort because you have to kind of sit stationary, you have to sit still, and there's not a lot of maneuvering that you can do in terms of, you know, you kind of being in this enclosed system. The difference with an open MRI system is that it's less claustrophobic. I think that's the best way to describe it for most folks out there. And this design allows for adequate kind of acquisition of imaging and those radio waves to be sent in, but, you know, it's kind of less confined. Many times patients will, you know, not only have concerns about the noise, but also just kind of that narrow space that they find themselves in for, you know, anywhere 30 to, you know, 45 minutes sometimes, where they're not able to kind of really feel as though they're comfortable and they feel claustrophobic. I think that's the big thing. Open MRI kind of alleviates that to a large degree.
So we'll close the book on the MRI portion of the show, but we'll continue with the terminology theme and have you break down the term CT scan. Describe what that is and when it is needed.
Yeah, so CT scanners use a rotating X-ray tube and a row of detectors placed in what's called a gantry to measure X-ray attenuation of different soft tissues within the body. I think that's the best way to kind of generally describe it. The multiple X-ray measurements taken from different angles are then processed on a computer using what's called tomographic reconstruction algorithms to produce a tomographic or cross-sectional image or virtual slices of the body. The best analogy I can give is when you undergo a CT scan, if you were to imagine you're from head to toe or even from abdomen to pelvis, you know, you're kind of creating bread loaf kind of slices, whether they're in the axial kind of coronal or sagittal reconstructions. And so this can be used to more or less take a three-dimensional look inside the body and assist in kind of identifying disease. I want to touch on this also is that CT scans can be used in patients with metallic implants such as pacemakers, whereas, for example, with MRI, that would be contraindicated. And so a little background with CT scanners, you know, they were developed in the 70s. And since that time, we've been using CTs as a very versatile imaging technique. It's probably one of the most prominently used medical tools in medicine in general, but most certainly in medical diagnostics. CT has become an important tool in medical imaging to supplement, let's say, conventional plain x-rays and also ultrasound. It's been more recently used in even preventive medicine for screening of disease, for example, lung cancer screening, CT colonography, for example, for those who are at high risk of colon cancer. And we've even developed kind of fully motion heart scans for people at high risk for heart disease. This is a conservative estimate, but yearly, with at least within the United States, over 80 million CT scans are conducted each year.
Wow, 80 million CT scans a year. That's an incredible number, Dr. Taylor. So with all the details that you just provided about CT scans and MRIs, from a patient's perspective, if they're getting an opportunity to hear this episode, any type of anxiety or concern about having these procedures done really isn't necessary, is it?
No, not necessary at all. Each scan is protocoled and tailored to the patient's needs and specific clinical question that the referring doctor has. In terms of risks, again, these machines are well calibrated. There's quality testing, if not daily, monthly, weekly, and throughout the year and throughout its function. And so that poses minimal risk to the patient when they undergo these tests. This would be a non-invasive test category.
Dr. Taylor, let's discuss what radiography can diagnose for patients.
So radiography can be utilized to diagnose an almost endless list of disease processes. I'll just name a few, for example, congestive heart failure, emphysema or chronic pulmonary disease, COPD, lung cancer, and many other lung cancers or cancers in general. Something as kind of common as pneumonia, rib cage injuries, stroke, heart attack. You can even use radiography to diagnose constipation.
Tell us why Erie patients should feel completely confident in the advanced technology available at UPMC Hammett's Imaging Services.
Yeah, so beyond our expertise in imaging interpretation, we have a very well-organized department with dedicated staff, starting with our medical director on down and throughout the department. Our service lines continue to expand, so does our volume and outreach into the community. There's a lot of excitement here with UPMC Hammett, and particularly within the radiology department regarding our prospects to provide excellent quality care for patients. We are also very well positioned currently and into the future to incorporate new innovative technologies. As an example, we've recently implemented AI for stroke triage, and the idea is to, you know, diagnose faster and more accurately, you know, large to even very, very small and subtle strokes, in order that patients can receive intervention and brain-saving therapy. And so faster, more efficient, and most certainly accurate diagnosis is our goal, and we work towards that daily.
Dr. Taylor, while the technology is world-class at UPMC Hammett's network of imaging centers, the team administering those tests are second to none, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely. We have a group of very knowledgeable, experienced, and highly respected radiologists just within our group, for example. To give you some context, I just recently finished, you know, upwards of about 10 years of medical training, and I'm approaching 40 years old, and I believe I'm one of the younger practitioners within our group. That's a testament to the experience that we have just within this department in of itself. And while I do mention this, due to the rigorous training involved and on top of the years of experience located here at UPMC Hammett, a patient can feel very comfortable knowing that they're getting high quality of care and from very well-trained and experienced doctors. I strongly believe this to be the case, you know, not only here at UPMC Hammett, but throughout the UPMC system in general. And Hammett has a very special place in this region, given that we are the go-to for complex medical cases within the Erie metropolitan area. And so I'm proud to be a part of that.
That's a great answer, Dr. Taylor. Can you tell us about other tests and procedures that you and the team at UPMC Hammett's Imaging Services conduct besides some of the ones that we've discussed already on the program?
Yes. So we offer the full gamut of interventional services, which include, let's say, image-guided biopsies, drainage, vascular procedures. On the diagnostic front, we also offer all services that a fully functional and modern radiology department would offer, which includes radiography, fluoroscopy, CT, MRI, nuclear medicine. We have specialists across the board, including dedicated neuroradiologists, interventionalists, body imagers, musculoskeletal, and women's imaging specialists. We've just ramped up our women's imaging center as we're located by a McGee Women's Hospital here in Hammett. And we provide the full services for women's imaging, which includes diagnostic and screening mammography, as well as other kind of tailored examinations for women's health and women's imaging. And we continue to expand on those services as well.
Doctor, if we could step back for a moment, you mentioned the term interventional radiology earlier in the program. How does that differ from diagnostic radiology?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so these radiologists are doctors who diagnose and treat patients using image-guided, minimally invasive techniques, supplemented with ultrasound, X-ray, and MRI. They carefully guide instruments through kind of tiny incisions in the body, kind of reaching the source of a medical problem and delivering targeted treatments. These treatments are for conditions such as heart disease, stroke, cancer. Another great example is for uterine fibroids. These procedures offer less risk, pain, and recovery time compared to traditional surgery.
And earlier in the program, we were also discussing subspecialties. Can you break down for our listeners what pediatric radiology is and some of the challenges that arise with that particular type of radiology?
Yes, pediatric radiologists requires an additional kind of subspecialty fellowship training outside of the traditional diagnostic radiology training. And they become experts in diagnosing illnesses, injuries, and diseases of infants, children, adolescents, using kind of the standard and traditional imaging techniques that we discussed earlier. Pathology typically will manifest a little differently in children, and a kind of misnomer that a lot of people and even sometimes doctors have is that children are small adults, and that couldn't be further from the case. Children have a very kind of unique pathophysiology and also anatomy to which pediatric radiology subspecialists would need to be very, very knowledgeable of and mindful of, particularly when disease processes that we come to commonly associate with adults present themselves in children. And so there's domains similar to the adult world. For example, there's pediatric neuroradiology, there's pediatric interventional radiology, there's pediatric kind of body imaging and musculoskeletal imaging. And so along those lines, those specialists deal with diseases specifically for infants, children, and adolescents, which are unique, very unique, and different from adults.
Dr. Taylor, as we're starting to reach the tail end of today's program, we haven't had the opportunity to point out to our listeners where some of these great imaging locations are at. So where can local residents find UPMC Hammett's imaging locations?
So our main imaging hub is at UPMC Hammett Hospital at 201 State Street here in Erie, Pennsylvania. In terms of some of the services we provide, for example, would be CT, MRI, ultrasound, bone scans, interventional and special procedures, nuclear medicine, and diagnostic radiography. Our hours are, or at least our main business hours, we're open 24/7, but our main kind of daily hours would be Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Additionally, we have outpatient centers, starting with our outpatient center in Sterling Square, which is located on 3406 Peach Street here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And similar to our main hospital, we offer CT, MRI, ultrasound, diagnostic mammography, which includes tomosynthesis and 3D mammography, diagnostic radiography, and bone density scans. Those hours of operation are typically Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. We also have a dedicated women's imaging center, which is located on 300 State Street, Suite 107 here in Erie, Pennsylvania. to which we provide tomosynthesis and 3D mammography, digital mammography, breast ultrasound, breast procedures, including breast biopsies, and also other minimally invasive procedures as needed. The hours are typically Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. We also staff an urgent care center. This would be the UPMC Urgent Care West, which is located at 2861 West 26th Street here in Erie, Pennsylvania, where we provide diagnostic mammography. And our hours of operation are typically from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. No appointment is needed. You can simply walk in with a doctor's order.
Well, Dr. Taylor, I think the listeners today have learned a lot about diagnostic radiology and the subspecialties that go along with it. You've been terrific on today's program. We can't thank you enough for your time today. Before we depart, is there anything else that you would like to share about the exceptional care and the team of healthcare specialists at UPMC Hammett's Imaging Services?
Yes, in closing, I believe the future here at UPMC Hammett and UPMC is very bright, and I am proud to be a part of a great team. Leaders such as David Gibbons, Dr. Gregory Beard, and Dr. Richard Kolkin come to mind when I think about the excellent leadership and stewardship that our regional health system has. UPMC is a great hospital and does a great job in serving the needs of Erie, Pennsylvania and the Erie metropolitan area. I'm very proud to be a part of this group. And so thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.